Welcome to the Harvest USA podcast, where we offer the transformative hope of the gospel to those impacted by sexual sin. Our passion is to equip the church to think biblically about God's design for sexuality, repentance, and life in Christ.
Biblical Manhood for Boys Who Don't Fit the Mold by Stephen Moss. Mason isn't like the other boys. Those words from Mason's third grade teacher had stuck with Tom and Lisa. Her stark appraisal voiced a quiet fear that had been gnawing at their hearts ever since Mason was a toddler. In those early days, they had read all the Christian parenting books their friends recommended, which all seemed to agree: boys are wild. Tom and Lisa thought they were prepared for wild. Tom had been pretty wild himself, and all the other boys they knew were some degree of wild. And wasn't biblical manhood about being wild at heart? But Mason? Mason never quite fit that mold. Other boys pretended to be superheroes. Mason pretended to be on Dancing with the Stars. Other boys wanted soccer cleats. Mason asked for tap shoes. Other boys loved fishing with their dads. Mason cried when Tom showed him how to bait a hook with a live worm. Other boys couldn't sit still for 5 minutes. Mason could curl up with their cat and read all afternoon. Do you know a boy like Mason? Maybe he's your son, or maybe he's in your youth group or children's ministry. You may know several boys who dress, act, or enjoy things that don't align with our culture's image of masculinity, or maybe your own idea of biblical manhood. They might be more emotionally sensitive than other boys, more prone to tears. Perhaps they reject more traditional boy activities, like sports or video games, for interests like dance, music, or art. Maybe something about the way they speak or carry themselves strikes you as almost feminine? There have always been boys who don't fit their culture's mold of masculinity. This is not new. We can even find these boys in Scripture. God loves using boys and men who, for one reason or another, don't fit the mold. He uses gardeners and soldiers, hunters and priests, poets and kings, beggars and prophets. Many voices today sound the alarm that masculinity is under attack in our culture and even in our churches. Whether or not that's the case, the boys who prefer the Tony Awards to the Super Bowl are certainly not the culprits, and neither are they the problem. Stereotypes and biblical manhood. We need to acknowledge that most modern images of masculinity are rooted in cultural stereotypes rather than Scripture. God created humanity as male and female, and the whole Bible upholds and celebrates this distinction, particularly when it comes to sex, marriage, and church leadership. The Bible also clearly states that to intentionally blur this distinction is to reject God's good design. But when it comes to personality, emotions, affinities, skills, and labor, the Bible allows men and women considerable freedom in living out their distinct masculinity and femininity. When cultural stereotypes are packaged, baptized, and sold as biblical masculinity, it creates a whole world of confusion, pressure, and pain for boys who don't fit that mold. These boys may feel alienated in Christian circles, eventually seeking community and belonging outside the community of faith. The culture stands ready to tell them they might be gay, or that they might even be girls. So what does the church have to say to these boys? We must certainly stand firm for the truth and goodness of gender distinction. But author Nancy Piercy also suggests that, quote, Christians should be the first in line to nurture and support kids who don't fit in by affirming the diversity of gifts and temperaments in the body of Christ, unquote. The goal of discipleship is Christ-like men, not manlier men. Discipling a boy who doesn't fit. Whether you're a father, a minister, or a mentor, what does faithful discipleship look like for a boy who doesn't fit the mold? What does he need from you? We'll look at four things. Number one, he needs you to see his heart. In 1 Samuel 16, the prophet Samuel is looking at the sons of Jesse, tasked with anointing a new king of Israel. He sees Eliab's height and thinks he has his man, but God says, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." 1 Samuel 16:7. Eliab fit the kingly mold, but God had chosen David, Jesse's youngest son, because of what God saw in his heart. When you look at this boy God has placed in your life, you might see his fashion, his hairstyle, or his build. You might see his mannerisms or the way he runs. But are you seeing him as God sees him? Ask yourself, what do I think God sees when he looks at this boy? What fruit of the Spirit are evident, and what's going on in his heart? This might take time to discern, but you'll never lead this boy well if you do not see him. Ask the Lord to help you see this boy through his eyes rather than our human lenses of culture and preference. Number two, he needs you to affirm his manhood. All boys, particularly boys who don't fit the mold, need to know that their status as a boy or man is not about performance or achievement. They don't become men by liking trucks, sports, or action movies. They don't become men by getting a six-pack, changing a tire, or holding back tears. They are men because God made them male. Their bodies, as diverse as male bodies can be, all bear witness to this, even at a cellular level. Consider how to affirm this boy's manhood, not as a status he earns and maintains, but as a gift that he receives and grows into, much like we receive our status as God's adopted sons and grow into spiritual maturity. This boy will grow up and be a man. That's not in question. The question is, what kind of man will he be? What could it sound like to affirm this boy's particular gifts and temperament as he grows into biblical manhood? Here are some examples. "I'm so proud of the man you are becoming." "It took strength to pursue peace instead of revenge when that boy hurt you." "I love what a creative man you are, like our Creator God." "I see your gentleness and patience with your younger siblings, like our Good Shepherd." "I love how you took the initiative to sit with the new boy at school who doesn't speak English. You're a good friend." "It takes courage as a man to be vulnerable with your weaknesses. You inspire me to trust Jesus more." Number three, he needs you to challenge his sin. It's important to affirm the fruit of the Spirit you see in this boy's life. But like all boys who are in Christ, he is simultaneously a new creation and a fallen sinner. So what do you do when you look in his heart and also see the works of the flesh? You might look and find pride or arrogance about his differences. Maybe he thinks he's better than other boys. You might see envy toward boys for whom life seems to come a little easier. Consider how you can challenge and correct these sinful attitudes and actions, even when they come from a place of deep pain or shame. Remind him that in Christ he is fully seen and securely loved. Number four, he needs you to nurture his growth. God didn't make a mistake when he created this boy in his image. Our task as fathers, ministers, and mentors is not to mold or shape boys in our own likeness or into a cultural image of masculinity. We might as well take our clumsy chisels to a Michelangelo masterpiece, thinking we could somehow improve it. But boys do need our nurture, our protection, guidance, discipline, and love as they grow into biblical manhood. When we nurture a boy entrusted to our care, rather than molding him, we start with the question, what kind of man did God create this boy to be? Then we ask, how do I help him get there? This involves helping him develop the particular gifts and passions God has given him. It may also involve walking alongside him to help him find connection and belonging within his community of godly men, especially when his particular gifts and passions might make him look like an outsider to that community. Discipling a boy in biblical manhood who doesn't fit the mold requires humility and thoughtful action. Back to Tom, Lisa, and Mason. Years ago, when Tom turned 13, his dad took him on a fishing trip to Montana, and Tom had always dreamed of doing the same thing with his own son one day. But today was Mason's 13th birthday, and they were on the road, not to Montana, but to New York City. Tom had surprised Mason with tickets to his favorite Broadway musical. Mason had been singing the soundtrack for months, and Tom still had no idea what it was about, but he loved watching his son come alive trying to explain it to him. As they drove, they talked about God and school and what Mason wanted to be when he grew up. They also talked about sex and sin and the gospel. They talked about church and why Mason often dreaded going to youth group. "We always play ultimate frisbee after Bible study," Mason said. "I'm terrible, and no one wants me on their team. Last week, I just hid in the bathroom." "Oh, buddy," said Tom. "I'm sorry to hear that. What if I showed you how to throw a frisbee when we got home?" "Sure," Mason said. "That'd be cool. But I am not watching the Super Bowl." "Deal." Tom smiled. Mason's third grade teacher might have been wrong. Mason is just like the other boys.